It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM WTNT. And I'm joined now by the guy who writes the corner of wall in Maine for the Washington Times. Chris Versailles joins me. And the name of the column today is Searching for Light in a Tunnel of Gloom. Doesn't sound too good. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, gee, Andy, that's a great way to bring me on. Thanks. It is kind of a little bit gloomy out there. I mean, look, we've got this overhang in the market, meaning the stock market, of course, with the on again, off again question: is Greece in? Is Greece out of the eurozone? And you know, unfortunately, too, the middle of the week we just got the latest readings on the economies in both the eurozone and China, and guess what? They just continue to slow. So mm-hmm. It's very, very, I won't say somber, but it is kind of a down week.
Yeah. Now, you predicted a downturn in the S&P about middle of May, you told me. This was a few weeks back. And sure enough, it has come to fruition. You feel like a soothsayer sometimes?
I don't know if I can take a victory lap for saying things were going to go bad. But I appreciate the thought there. But the reality is that I simply try to sit back and understand what the data is telling me rather than try and superimpose what I want the data to say. And more often than not, I find that by listening to the data, you can get it more right than wrong.
Yeah, CBO fired off a warning shot about the U.S. debt this week, and we saw lawmakers scramble to say they'd take action. But really, is anyone really going to do anything about it, especially in an election year?
Well, the question is not will they do something about it. I think they will. The question is always when. And if we look last year, with it was down to the wire till we got the debt ceiling raised, I think there's a lot of concern that because it's an election year, we're going to go exactly right through that same process all over again. And that's really what worries me. But the reality is that unlike the debt ceiling that was dealt with last year, if this is not dealt with, you're going to start to see people pull back spending. Companies are going to pull back. Their tax positions and implications are going to change. So there's a number of questions that need to get sorted out. And unfortunately, if they're not, I think the CBO is right. It could very well dip us back into a negative environment in terms of the economy, i.e., contraction, not growth.
Yeah, sure. And we've got tax hikes looking us in the face come January. We've got big spending cuts like $600 billion for the military. Got a lot of things that are going to be triggered by the end of the year if this isn't addressed.
You're absolutely spot on, Andy. And it's generally speaking, from a stock market perspective, the market does not like unknowns. That's why, you've seen the moves in the market with what's gone on with Greece and the slowing economy, but this is all a whole other animal that you could take it to the next level, but it very well could.
Yeah. Companies' earnings reports for the week, anything positive?
I wrote in the column that, there was a number of companies that did report. Some things were good, but by and large, there's a fair amount of companies that, were not. We've had Dell that was a disaster. Facebook, that IPO from last week, another disaster. And we've got a bunch of headcount reductions starting all over again. So it's, just more happy news here, Andy.
Yeah. I want to take you back to the Facebook situation.
Sure.
This was supposed to set all kinds of records. This was a path to the future for many. Many investors jumped on board. Then it kind of fizzles. What happened?
That's the big question. I will tell you that, generally speaking, I shy away from participating in any and all IPOs.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, the management team doesn't have a public track record by which you can judge. And two, more often than not, 6 months later, there's a lockup where insiders can start selling their stocks. So I like to get clear of all that.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that this was, to say it was a hyped offering is an understatement. I mean, it was all over the news. They upsized the number of shares they were going to sell. They upsized the price range that they were going to offer it at. Meanwhile, they're filing things with the SEC that, they're amending the outlook for the business. They're talking about concerns over their mobile strategy. And to top it off, GM, while not a big customer of theirs, it is one of the largest advertising companies, in the country, i.e. in terms of dollars spent, they said, we're not going to advertise through Facebook anymore. So there are a number of reasons, I think, that despite all the hype, it would have been prudent to kind of step back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the term irrational exuberance came to mind when I was thinking about that. I think a lot of people looked at it as the next Google rocket ride or something. You know?
Well, the way that the media was talking about it, you could certainly see that. And it was, as a matter of fact, the largest initial public offering ever.
So. All right. Now, you mentioned some companies getting involved and had to revise, estimates. Morgan Stanley comes to mind. They evidently revised their estimates a week before but didn't tell all of their investors. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it?
Well, this is where it gets a little gray. What caused them to revise their estimates? Who did they or who did they not tell becomes a whole other question. Having gone through the research side of an initial public offering, you read the latest filings that a company puts in with the SEC. That's public information. So to the extent that this person revised their forecast based on what was in those documents, I don't see anything wrong with that. If there was some wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hey, this is going to happen or not happen, that's a whole other issue. But having said that, Morgan Stanley is a very large, very professional institution, and they tend to have compliance departments and things like that that oversee all of this. So I suspect that it's a little more rumor mongering and innuendo than anything else.
Okay. All right. Now, we hear talk of moving the listing to the New York Stock Exchange. What does that mean to us?
Well, as an investor, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it really doesn't matter to you, the individual, where a stock trades, whether it's the NASDAQ, the NYSE, or the New York Stock Exchange, or some of the others. For you, as long as you have liquidity, meaning you're able to buy and sell the stock when you want to, that's really all you care about.
Okay. But so it doesn't, we keep seeing the headlines, seeing the little banners going across the cable TV financial channels that, hey, this may happen. But it really doesn't mean anything to the average investor then.
No, I would say, take this with a, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, it's a slow week for financial news.
Okay. All right. Now, speaking of a slow week, looks like next week being a short week, is that good or bad, and any big news expected?
Well, normally shorter weeks are good from the, hey, I have one less day to work perspective. But the reality is that there are weeks where a lot more data gets compressed, and we are going to have one of those weeks next week. And we get some interesting data, consumer confidence and pending home sales, but we get the biggie next Friday, which is the May employment report, and that's what everybody's going to be watching to seeing, are we finally going to see more jobs being added or a greater velocity than what we've seen over the last few months.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess I should hang in there. The world's not collapsing yet, right?
Well, no, it's a three-day weekend.
That's right. All right, Chris. Hey, folks, if you haven't checked it out, do it today. The Corner of Wall in Maine. Today's column is called, hang on, Searching for Light in the Tunnel of Gloom. Wow, it sounds like the title of a movie. But anyway, it's by Chris Versace, and as always, you can get in touch with Chris at chrisversace.com, Versace. Good to talk to you. Have a safe holiday weekend.
You too, Andy. Thank you.
Take care.